You're now listening to Movie Night with your hosts, Dwayne Perkins and TK Kelly.
Welcome, everyone, to the Movie Night podcast. I am TK Kelly, joined, as always, by my hilarious co-host, Mr. Dwayne Perkins. Each and every week, we bring in a special guest, we watch a movie, we talk shit about it.
Yes, indeed, we do. And this week is no exception. We have a very special guest, a young man I performed with, I don't know, about 7-8 years ago. And I said, that kid is going to go places.
And, got the Dwayne Perkins and, stamp of approval.
And I called it because he's here right now.
Hey, he went to this
Night
place.
He's a hilarious comedian. You've seen him on Last Week Tonight. Also, just joined us down at Funny You Should Ask, banging out trivia jokes. The hilarious Kyle Plouffe is with us today.
Hey, what's up, guys?
What's up, man?
What's
Thank
up,
you
man?
For having me.
Absolutely. Thanks for being here.
Absolutely.
You're in the rotating system now of Dwayne's coworkers.
Oh, yeah. Everyone's been here.
He's just like, all right, who's got nothing to do tonight? We're leaving.
From work to the studio.
Here we are. It's convenient. How's it going? What's up?
Everything's good, man. I'm here, you know, just ready to talk, I guess, crazy Sally Field stuff later.
We'll get there.
And Kyle is doing a great job. Great job over at the J, writing, quote-unquote, producing. And what I love about Kyle, we were in a room pitching. He doesn't try to oversell his jokes. He like, lets the joke
speak for itself
on its own merit, which is what they try to preach.
Yeah.
But most of the comics, most of the writers are comics, so we're all like, and then he said, well, da, da, da. We're all trying to sell those jokes.
I mean, if you got to sell the joke, it's probably not going to get there.
Probably not, because you don't know who's going to say it, but sometimes those can be the best jokes. If, you know, like, we have an idea who's going to be on, who's going to say these jokes, though. What do you guys think, Kyle?
Yeah. I think it's something I did subconsciously when I first started comedy. Like at open mics and stuff like that, I would write a joke or write a bit and then just say it and not put any oomph on it or anything and just kind of let it speak for itself. And if it died, then it's like, it's not funny. But if you're just delivering something like monotone or just totally without like crazy emphasis and it hits, then you're like, oh, you got something there.
That's true. That's a good, like, you're not showing them here's where the laugh goes.
Right.
You're not forcing it.
Yeah, exactly. Right. And I see that happen a lot, like at comedy clubs where it's just like, comics are working, and all of a sudden, and then this is the punchline, and it gets them every time. So I'm kind of
they don't
like,
realize it's the moment that created it, not the actual material.
Yeah,
you know, Chris Rock does that for sure.
That's what I just read through those notebooks.
I read that after I was doing it. I was like, I'm doing the right thing then. Chris Rock stole my shit.
Yeah, and I swear.
Yeah.
I was like, ooh.
And believe it or not, Dane Cook. I saw Dane Cook do that once because, you know, you probably came up after Dane had already left Boston.
Oh, yeah.
But I saw Dane used to kill. I mean, destroy. It was like ridiculous. And then one night I saw him and he was like doing a jazzed out version of, and he was still doing really well. And I was like, Dane, like, you forgot this tag. You forgot that tag. What are you doing? He was like, no, I wanted to do a new bit. And I wanted the new bit to not like, just not survive off the momentum of the bit before it.
Oh, you know what I'm saying? So he purposely like toned it down.
Yeah. You know, because if he's smashing, anything he says after that is gonna probably smash.
Of course,
right?
Well.
Exactly.
And once you get to a certain level too, which is I think why Chris Rock probably still does it, because it's like Chris Rock walks in the room and he's getting laughs.
Right.
You know, people are they're ready to shit their pants laughing at Chris Rock.
Mm-hmm.
So I know a lot of people who've seen him in New York and they're like, man, he just kind of rolled through and just like real quietly read a notebook aloud on stage.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, but watch in a year, you'll see the finished version of that joke that you saw and thought nothing of, and it fucking kills.
Right.
But you got to figure out, is there any merit to the joke at all, or are people just laughing because of the emphasis of the words, or because I'm fucking Chris Rock?
It'll let it speak for itself.
Exactly. So, yeah, he's just doing a great job over there.
Oh, thank you.
Funny you should ask.
That's just a really heartfelt compliment, Dwayne.
Just
really very nice.
It.
Just laying it out there. I mean, Dwayne, I don't know if you want to try to somehow transition into this movie. It's a difficult title to get to. Dwayne likes to just kind of throw out the corniest possible way of transitioning into whatever movie we're talking about.
I will say this. It's an office. It's a creative office environment we work in. And Kyle started like 3 weeks ago, maybe, four weeks ago. Yep. And when he walked in, he did have to say, my name is Kyle.
It would have been a lot weirder if he walked in and was like, hello, my name is Doris.
Yeah, that would
I mean, Kyle, I'm sorry, why that slipped. That is our movie this week from 2015. It's called Hello, My Name is Doris, directed by Michael Showalter, starring Sally Field, Max Greenfeld, Tyne Daly, and Stephen Root. I was mentioning before we started, like, interesting movie choice. I had never heard of this real, like, seemingly little indie film.
Yeah. Wasn't she nominated? I don't know.
She was nominated for some marginal, like, smaller awards, but nothing big that I saw. I enjoyed it, though. What did you guys think of this movie?
I really enjoyed it. I honestly had never heard of the movie, and we watched it. Me and my buddy watched it on the way back driving from Las Vegas.
A crazy concept. Were you, like, did you have a driver? Or
Jay was driving. Oh, I was holding it up. Illegal to say. But I was holding it up on my phone as Jay was driving, and he was just...
That's a straight shot from Vegas. It's fine.
Yeah, exactly.
It's interesting. It's like... So, all right. I mean, usually we assume everyone listening has watched it, but this is... it's on Hulu, so you can get it.
It's
accessible.
Check it out.
Yeah. But it's a little indie film about... how old would you say she is in this movie? She's in her 60s?
Yeah, 60s or 70s, but she might be way older in real life, right?
I don't know. Yeah, that's a good question.
She's got to be in her 60s.
Yeah. Least. I feel like, but you know, she just decides she's gonna try and hook up with her young coworker.
And the crazy thing is, we've done other movies with Sally Field, and like in Punchline, she was Tom Hanks' like sort of love interest, a little older than him.
Yeah,
and then 4 years later, she was his mom. In Forrest Gump.
Yeah.
Oh, that's hilarious.
She can play young old. Because even still, I can't tell you how old she's supposed to be in this movie.
Mm.
Like, because she is a younger-looking older woman.
Right.
So it's like, you can play... She doesn't read like a grandma immediately.
Right.
You know, I mean, like Tyne Daly, her friend who chased the girl at the track in this movie,
which was so fucking funny.
Super funny, amazing in this movie, but she probably couldn't play the lead character in it.
Right.
Because you couldn't get that this dude's gonna hang out.
Yeah.
I mean, you definitely saw that, like, all right, this is kind of, she's like this kooky old lady at work, but she's cool enough that it's like, yeah, I'll kick it with this lady for a night.
Yeah.
If I run into her at a fucking electronic music show, I'm gonna be like, all right, now I gotta hang out with her, because she's clearly a little fucking nuts, and it's interesting.
Yeah.
And she did a great job. I mean, like, her acting, everyone's great, but her acting is like next level.
So good.
In this movie.
Yeah.
Because she's basically a child in an older person's body.
Mm.
Yeah. You know, like she's not like, she's not mentally ill or anything, but she's just like stopped developing at some point in adult life, but very early.
Absolutely.
It seemed like she was so, like, hung up on her mother and couldn't leave her mother, and then she just got stuck.
Yeah, very sheltered.
At, like, whatever age it was that she decided she was not going to marry that dude.
But the thing is, that happens, like, a lot of cultures, not mine, but, like, you hear this from, you hear from Jewish people, from Italian people, like, the oldest child sometimes gets stunted because they have to stay and take care of the parents.
Well, yeah. I mean, in this movie, her brother is, he's kind of an asshole at parts, but he's, it's Stephen Root, who's always great. He has like what you'd call a normal life, right? He has a family, he has a wife, and his sister was, you know, according to him, they agreed she would take care of mom, he would go do all this shit, and she didn't get to live a life.
No.
And that's what I really enjoyed about this movie, was because it was like, they gave you a believable reason why this older lady would be acting in a pretty ridiculous way.
Right.
You know, you're not like, she wouldn't go to that fucking concert. It was just like, she hit a point in her life where she was like, I didn't live at all, and I'm just, whatever, I'm going to start now.
Yeah. There was one point in this movie that, I mean, there were so many laughs, and it was like awkward and silly at times, but there was that one point where she's like looking in the mirror after she's like taking her hair out and stuff like that, and she's just staring in the mirror like, oh my God, my life has completely passed me by. That was the most terrifying thing I've seen time, dude.
There's nothing like a movie that makes you realize that
happen.
You feel it. You're like, fuck, yeah, you do have to, like you blink and it's 10 years later and you're like, I didn't do any of that shit I wanted to do.
Yeah.
And it was so, this movie really towed the line between funny and silly and crazy sad, like really well.
Yeah,
it was always a little bit like, I don't know if I love this lady or if I feel just terrible for her.
Yeah.
And I think that's that, like you said, her acting, man. She was just In a moment that could have been crushing, she was funny. Like when she watched his girlfriend singing on stage.
Yeah.
And instead of being like totally heartbroken, she just looked kind of angry. And it was like it was the right way to play it. It was super funny.
Yeah. Even when there's so many great little small moments because she's following them, obviously. And they catch her, and she meets the girlfriend, and her name is Brooklyn.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, are you from Brooklyn?
Yeah.
And she's just so annoyed by it.
Oh, yeah, she's kind of a bitch to her, but like they read it as like, oh, she's being kooky Doris.
And then they go, she goes, oh, my parents loved Woody Allen. You're like, why didn't they name you Woody Allen?
That's just so funny.
I love that there was no suspicion on their end that she's like, oh, I love this store that's in Brooklyn, even though I live in fucking Staten Island. I'm like, oh, this lady clearly followed you, dude. You got to know that.
Clearly in Williamstown for no reason, or Williamsburg.
I think they tap into that. This movie does a great job of showing like how young people think like they just know more than older people, and they're almost invisible, and it's like this like almost patting them on the head, condescending, you know?
Yeah,
because even Tyne Daly's character had spunk. Like she didn't have the youthfulness, but they were like fiery. She was
hilarious.
She was a communist.
So funny. Yeah, you know? Conscientious objector. Like she was really funny. I also loved the job they did with like really kind of shitting on the younger Brooklyn community without totally shitting on. But it's like, join my rooftop knitting circle.
It's LGBTQ. I'm not a lesbian.
Yeah, but
and
then like the one girl at the concert said she taught LGBTQ preschool.
Oh my god, it's so funny.
I was like, if that is a real thing, it's in Williamsburg for sure.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, they shit on that whole thing. And as someone from Brooklyn, you know, I'm going to obviously side with Tyne Daly and Sally Fields on that because it's like, guys, this is not who we were.
Yeah, I love that when she tells him she lived in Staten Island, she's like, oh my god, you're like the first one there. It's like, no, like she lives there. Right. She always lived there. That's right. What people in Staten Island have always been there.
Yeah, and they were all like, we should do Staten Island next. We should just go there. And you know,
it was a really that like kind of shitting on that community gave it a little bit lighter moments in the midst of like, again, what could have been like, you could have got hung up on that. This lady had a sad, sad life.
Right.
And she was like hoarding and just dealing with her mother dying and all sorts of shit.
Yeah. And I love, but they did such a great job because like when Tyne Daly's, her daughter's in jail.
Yeah.
And she's like, yeah, but she just stole the Prius. So
yeah. She said that she's going to get paroled. It was just a hybrid. There was some really great, like quick one-off lines. And I know he was only one of the writers, but Michael Showalter from like The State and Wet Hot American Summer. And you could see those moments in it, like where they were, where Doris and John were walking down the street and he had his bike and he's like, you know, I got so depressed that she left me. I put her jeans on last night.
Oh, and they fit
and
perfectly.
He's like, I'm still wearing them. They fit perfectly.
They look great.
It had enough of that levity that I didn't get too bogged down in what you're waiting for the whole movie is like, when is the crushing moment going to happen?
Yeah.
When he inevitably is like, no, lady. Like,
right. But that's the one thing that in the back of my head, I'm like, okay, so it's an older lady. He's not necessarily going to be interested, but it's still Sally Field. And although she's older, she's still attractive in this movie.
Without question.
They went out to dinner, got drinks. Not once he's not going to be like, all right, I'm a little drunk. I can probably...
Try
to make a move right now.
Exactly. It was, well, that's in my head. It was going one of two places. He was inevitably going to just turn her down and break her heart, and it was going to be hard to watch. Or he was going to get drunk enough and just have sex with her, which might have been even sadder if it was like I was worried it was going that way. Where then he was like, no, this is not a thing. Weird old lady from work. You can't tell anybody we had sex.
Oh god.
Luckily, I think again, even the ending, they towed the line enough where it wasn't a huge downer.
Yeah.
You know, she went through some shit, but she like learned a ton from it and moved forward in her life because of it.
What was great is when he rejects her, she like calls the doctor and is like, okay, I'm going to deal with this hoarding.
Yeah.
I'm going to let some stuff go. I love that moment. And I thought the first time I watched it, it bothered me a little, but when I watched it again to talk about it with you guys, it didn't bother me as much. At the very end, she has another hallucination, which I would have thought, oh, she's over the hallucinations now. But now I see it as like people don't exactly change overnight.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, she's still that like hopeful, a bit childish person who can like just daydream like that. But then even the very end, then they give you that moment where he's like, wait, Doris. And you know he's not going to be like, let's totally get married. But it's just nice that they ended it there. And it's like, well, maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe it wasn't totally horrible for this lady. Yeah.
The open ending, whenever I see an open ending, I'm like, God damn it, just tell me. Yeah. Just tell me what happened.
Yeah. But you know, for like that brief second, I think you kind of got the feel in the end where she's having that last daydream by the elevator that, all right, this is probably not real, but whatever. You consider for a second, what if it is? What if they're setting it up as like, you think this is a daydream, but like this guy's really giving her a shot. And in that moment, I was like, that's a shitty ending. Like, it's not believable. This guy is not going to get together with this lady. It's just, I don't think I would have liked the movie if it did. So I think the open ending was just enough to be like, maybe he did, but probably.
But crazy likely, it's like, not. I'm sorry you're quitting.
Yeah, right? Like, exactly. He's like, or you dropped something like, in my office.
You ripped a pencil. But what if he was just like, all right, you can touch my dick one time.
You got 5 minutes in the elevator.
Well, that's what we were talking about at work when you were kind of like, it's Sally Field. Like, would you still?
It's Sally Field.
What if you made a deal with the devil where it's like, you could have sex with any actress, any supermodel, and you could 100% guaranteed shot to sleep with any supermodel or actress that you wanted. You just have to wait till their 67th birthday.
Yeah. Oh, right.
I mean,
and it's guaranteed, though.
That's also really funny, because like if you're that guy in that situation and you somehow see a picture of her younger, you're like, holy shit. Maybe I should just do this just based on how hot she used to be.
Like, right. Either that or you go into research mode. You got any picture of your mom's, your grandma's? Let me start really, you know.
Exactly.
And she's 70, by the way. She's 70.
She's 70. Yeah. Wow. Jesus. She looks good, man. There's not a lot of 70-year-olds that I'm like, I don't know, maybe. But like,
oh, for sure.
But the thing is, this story can only happen with the older, much older woman going after the guy in his prime. Because the other way around... And like you know what I'm saying, if it's a much older guy,
he's got to have a lot of money.
Yeah, then he's just gonna
he's not the accountant.
Just gonna pull up in a Porsche and be like, huh?
Yeah, short movie. Yeah, right. Why not? I'll spend a couple months with this guy.
Yeah. I love the moment when you know, one of her like her moments where she took charge of her life, when she throws the ball at the lady.
Oh, that was great.
Yeah, because they make this 70-year-old woman sit on a workout ball all day at work.
Yeah, I love that scene, too, when Kumail Nanjiani was a small part in it, but very funny.
Yeah,
he's super funny. He's handing out the yoga balls and just being like kind of a passive-aggressive asshole. Right, he's like, I don't make the rules. I'm not going to take into account that you're a 70-year-old woman. Like, fucking sit on this ball all day. I guess when I read the description, I was a little bit like, all right, this is odd and has potential to be a movie I don't like at all. But it was great. And that moment where she threw the ball at her boss, it was like you saw like, oh, that's what the movie's about. Like, it's about this lady just getting out of this rut she's been in for 5 decades.
Right, right.
You know, it was enjoyable aside from the romantic story at all. Like, just even the shit, or all of her interactions with the younger kids were hilarious. Oh. I loved the shit with Kyle Mooney from SNL.
Oh, yeah.
Where he's just like, your digits, your fucking phone. I need your phone number.
Like,
so it's got a pencil? Nobody uses a fucking pencil anymore.
No, nobody has a fucking pencil. It was great, man. I loved it. I didn't expect it. But yeah, let's hats off to Dwayne for picking a good one.
Yeah, thank you.
We've had a string of a few not so good ones.
We go up and down.
Yeah, yeah.
By the way, like, yeah, in the movie, I get it. You don't take her down. But as an outsider,
it's totally
that's
a different
Sally
story.
Field, you know
man.
What I mean?
Yes. Look. Also, I mean, he seemed to be kind of an upstanding dude. But I guarantee you, there's 5 guys in that office who are like, have you guys seen that old lady Doris?
Right,
like,
exactly. Like,
for sure. Like, there's
she's
no,
weird, but there's something hot about her.
Yeah, she's kind of just weird enough that you think it might be amazing. Like, and she's, like you said, she's still just amazingly attractive for a 70-year-old woman.
Hell yeah.
There's definitely dudes thinking about it at that job.
And the thing is, you know, like you, Hefner, and there's all these examples of mad, crazy age discrepancy, you know, and people making it work. Let's say 20 years is like doable, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I think I've met people like in my life who were like old enough to be my grandmother or mother, and it, like nothing could ever happen. But you sense that like like they're your spirit animal or something.
Oh, yeah,
like,
you get it. You can see how you can see how, like, yeah. And I guarantee you that was what this John character was feeling the whole time. Like, man, if this lady was 30 years younger, like, she's amazing. She's still going to concerts.
She's
coming over to my Thanksgiving party with all these like 20 and 30 year olds. It's definitely it is. There's that sense of like, yeah, but I could. I could. I won't.
And then she said, nobody ate. What was that dish?
Nobody even ate my pie.
Oh, that was so funny.
Oh, yeah.
And that was a great moment because Tyne Daly took her right back.
Yeah.
Even though at the Thanksgiving the Thanksgiving grace.
She cussed her out. She prayed against her.
Yeah. Thankful for the friends who are here and not for the ones who stabbed us in the back and left us in our time of need. Like, yeah,
that's a perfect
prayer.
Like best friend dynamic because like best friend, you're going to want to punch in the face every once in a while and you might have it out. And then at the end of the day, it's all love anyway. So
right.
I love that between them.
Let's launch into these games while we got some time left. So each week we do like a handful of questions that relate to the movie. Let's start with our old favorite drinking game. Make a drinking game out of this movie. Every time something repetitive happens, you got to take a drink. What do you think, Dwayne?
We talked about this already, so I'm sure one of you may have to change your drinking game. But every time they make fun of the hipsters, I mean, there's so much of that here. You might get pretty drunk, but every time, like, from the gay preschool to the business ideas they were running by her.
Or the poetry reading, like, in the restaurant, or at the table, was it? It was at his apartment.
Right.
Or like, oh, she's going to come over and sage the apartment. I was like, oh, these assholes. Like, fuck these people.
The guy's sage, like, the apartment. And it wasn't my horse. Like, what?
Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah. And it was, yeah, it was just like such a cartoony version of that, crowd. I did enjoy that. Mine is, and I sort of touched on this too, every time you're worried, it's about to get real sad and uncomfortable.
Mm.
There was a few moments, like the moment right before she sent that Facebook post, I was like, please don't fucking send that, because that's going to be the instigator of what makes this get real sad.
Yep.
It was rough, and they did it, they skirted it enough that it didn't bog the movie down at all.
Right.
But every time you feel it coming,
every
time you're like, this old lady is about to embarrass the shit out of herself, take a drink.
Yeah.
What do you think, Kyle?
That was my first one along the same lines is, just like any time Sally Field makes you go,
yes,
yeah,
you'll die. You'll be dead by the end of the movie.
Yeah, it's a lot of like, oh, please don't. Oh, she did it. Like, she's like just crazy enough.
Yeah.
Where you're never quite sure, like when she follows him to Brooklyn, in that moment, you're like, oh, she's actually a little fucking nuts. Like,
and when she actually, like, when it all comes crashing down, when she's like, I want to go talk to you in the bedroom, and you think for a second maybe she's just going to have like an honest conversation with him, but then she sees the bed and she gets in and kicks her heels off and she's starting to look sexy. I'm like, they might actually fuck, and then they don't, and you're like, oh, God. But just don't tell him you're the one that posted that thing on his Facebook, and then she does.
Yeah.
I was like,
drunkenly confesses that while an inch from his face. Yeah, that was like heart-wrenching.
But, yeah.
And he doesn't get it as quick as he should.
No. He's kind of a fucking moron. Like, this whole thing hinges on the fact that this asshole, like, bellied up to this old lady in an elevator and was just, like, kind of flirting with her.
Yeah.
He seems like... I don't know if it was intentional, if he's just like a flirty guy or whatever, or if he was just dumb. I couldn't tell if it was just like, this guy has no perception whatsoever.
I think he really might be pretty dumb.
Like, he sees her at the concert and he just gets this big smile.
Hey, what are you doing here?
If I saw, even, you know, we joke about it's like Sally Field, she looks amazing, but if you see a coworker 30, 35 years your senior at a concert, you're probably like, oh, fuck, like...
At like an EDM
like,
concert.
I'm going to duck away so I don't have to hang out with this person, and this night is going to be really super weird.
But you know, I think they did a great job of making him from LA. Just sort of like, I'm from LA.
He was a puppy dog. Man. He was like always smiling, always friendly.
He was very LA. Every New Yorker would have been like, what the fuck are you doing here?
What are you doing in Brooklyn? You follow us to Brooklyn. You live in Staten Island. You're going the other way. What the fuck is happening?
They have these stores everywhere. What the hell are you talking about?
I didn't even question it. Let's rename it. Hello, my name is Doris. You know, that's her name, I guess. That's maybe the one thing I wasn't the biggest fan of about this movie was the name was like, all right, I don't know, kind of phone that in.
Yeah.
Let's come up with a better one. Let's make them rebrand it. What do you think, Dwayne?
I have It's Never Too Late to Bone Who You Could Have Boned. Bone like no one's watching, I guess is what I'm saying.
I mean, ideally, no one is watching.
Right.
You kind of mentioned this, Dwayne, but I would rename it That One Friend of Your Mom's.
Oh, yeah,
like,
yeah.
Yeah, there's that one friend of your mom's. We're like, yeah, I could see that, like, 20 years ago, for sure.
There's a rapper, Kwame, back in the day, had a whole song about that, about coming home and his mother's friend stayed over the night. And yeah, yeah.
Nice. What do you think, Kyle? What's your new name?
90 Minutes of Air Through Teeth.
Yes, yes, yeah. So much. So, that's the perfect description of it, because it is just a lot of, like,
it's like a coach with a guy that takes up, you know, shoots up ill-advised shots that go in. Like,
Yeah.
No.
Okay, makes a 40-footer. Okay. Like, God damn it, nice shot.
Yeah.
Let's pitch the sequel, which I would love to see one. I don't know if she's just way older and going for someone even younger. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I think that. I think so they actually do start dating. And just when he's sort of warming up to the idea, she gets a dude like 5 years younger than him.
Mm-hmm. I love it. She kicks him to the curb.
Yeah, like Menudo. You aged out. You
trades
know I mean?
Him in. That's amazing. Mine is, it's called Hello, My Name is Uncle Frank.
Oh, wow.
It's about that guy. You remember in the movie, John tries to set her up with his kind of scummy Uncle Frank.
Uncle Frank.
The belt salesman. And just to prove, like, this sort of is what you touched on, but the opposite. If a man had no money, so Uncle Frank tries to go after his young coworker, and he just gets tased right. And arrested immediately. It's not fucking happening.
It's a short film, right?
There's not even a, yeah, it's real short. There's no consideration. You can tell right away from the first look on her face. You're like, oh, she wants no part of this. Get away from her. What do you think, Kyle?
I enjoyed the idea of Doris going back out into the world and actually succeeding in finding a younger man. It would be called Hello, My Name is Doris 2. Doris Gets Her Groove.
Yes.
The first time.
Yeah, Doris Gets Her Groove. She had never had the chance to lose it.
Yeah.
what's this? Oh, yeah, this is this is interesting. First off, I don't know that I knew. Are they really called Panthers? Is a panther
so.
An old, older,
yeah,
even, old. An even older cougar?
Yeah, I think when a cougar ages out, she becomes a panther.
Okay, all right. So this is
at least she does now.
Dwayne's question. If you could tease one panther, parentheses, G-MILF.
Yes, yes.
Who and why? And I got to tell you, this was way more difficult than I thought it would be. Turns out there's more of them out there than I realized.
When I did my homework.
I was like, oh, shit, yeah, there's a lot of old. I mean, granted that most of them are actresses, so they maybe age better than most of us. But I think I landed on Jane Seymour.
Solid.
Is that Medicine Woman?
Yes.
That's a solid call.
Dr. Quinn.
She's still hot as hell.
Yeah, man.
She's
played that part in Wedding Crashers. She was the hot old mom trying to bang Vince Vaughn. And I didn't buy that he wouldn't have just done it.
Yeah.
You got to make that move, man.
That's solid. Oh, yeah. When he was like, did you motorboat him?
Yeah.
Or they built for speed or for comfort.
Oh, yeah. No, it wasn't Vince. She was trying to fuck Owen Wilson.
Yeah, and then Vince said that to him.
Yeah, he would have definitely taken her down. He was...
Absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah. She just doesn't... I couldn't tell you within 15 years how old she is. But I know she's definitely... She's got to be near 70 just based on when fucking Dr. Quinn Medicine Woman existed. She did all right, guys. Jane Seymour, if you're out there, hit me up. Give me them digits. That's the phone.
This is a tough one, man. I think I felt like I cheated in the beginning. I just wrote down Susan Sarandon. And I feel like that's...
She was one of mine.
I feel like that's like not... You know what I mean?
Mm. And Susan Sarandon is older than you think she is, too. In my research. She's almost 72.
So,
wow.
Yeah.
Wow. That's crazy.
She was playing the older hot lady in fucking Bull Durham in the 80s.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
So probably her or, but this is, I've seen how she's aged. You know, no disrespect, but so Diana Rigg played Emma Peel, right, in the show called The Avengers.
On the deep cuts, I'm going to have to Google this.
It's an English show. If I could have her picture nearby.
Hold it closer to your face, please.
Yeah, but if it's just teasing, I think I could tease Diana Rigg because, you know, based on who, you know, based on being Emma Peel and everything, so.
So that's a B-side for sure. That's this is clearly someone you've thought about before.
Well, you see the young Diana Rigg.
Oh yeah, I totally get it.
Do you see her now?
She's
in Game of Thrones. She plays the mom.
Oh yeah, I know who she is.
Yeah. Okay. So
I get it.
Yeah,
it's a good choice. I get it.
Yeah.
What do you think, Kyle? Close it out for us, man. Which old lady are you taking
old
down?
Old lady. I mean, women in their 60s, I guess. To me, is like unbelievable. But like, I don't know. I guess this is like a hacky one because like Vanna White is still very attractive.
No,
she's in her 60s.
Yeah, I totally get the feeling of it being like, I had the same thought about Christie Brinkley. I was like, it's not fair because she still looks like she's younger than me.
Yeah.
But it's fair, man.
Sure.
She's probably a grandma.
Even everyone we said, I wouldn't tease. I would totally do it.
I took tease as Dwayne's nice way of saying, fuck that lady.
Not even a question.
Totally did.
Well, because he didn't do it in the movie, that's why
I said. Yeah, that's true.
Flirting with these women.
Exactly. If they seem even remotely interesting, if Vanna White's like maybe slightly receptive, you're like, I gotta try to fuck Vanna White right now.
Right. I got some letters for you
that's
to turn,
a good
Vanna.
One. All right. That's a weird but wonderful note to end that podcast on, guys. Kyle, thanks so much for being here, man.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Tell everybody where to find you online, all that sort of stuff.
Everything is just at Kyle Plouffe. Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, everything.
Check him out, guys.
DwaynePerkins.com, the website, FunnyDP, the Twitter handle. Today, Friday, I'll be in Lancaster, California. Tuesday, I'll be in San Diego, California. So just look that up on my website.
Check him out, guys. I'm at TK Kelly Comedy on Twitter. Let's see. Weekend of the 19th of May, I'll be down in San Diego doing some shows if you're in that area. Also, follow us at Movie Nightcast on Twitter. Send us some suggestions. Maybe lesser-known movies like this that you think we might enjoy. It's always nice to be pleasantly surprised by something you never heard of. So any ideas you guys have, send them our way. Kyle, thanks again, man.
Thanks for having me.
Tune in next week, guys.
You've been listening to Movie Night with Dwayne Perkins and TK Kelly. Be sure to like them on Facebook. Just search for Movie Night Podcast Show. And follow them on Twitter. Just search for @MovieNightCast. You can also find them online by going to thenetworkstudios.com. Until next time, bye-bye.